This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the F-Boy Island recaps here on the Hot Dummies on Islands podcast feed. Today, we'll be talking about season 3, episode 9 of F-Boy Island. We're getting close to the end of Hot Dummy season for the year. So if you have not yet this year, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can tell your friends about the show, anything like that, just to help people find us really helps us out. So really appreciate that. I'm of course Kirsten McGinnis, joined as always by the great Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I am good. Is this podcast going to be considered the woman's plane? Is that what we're doing here today?
Every podcast on the Hot Dummies on Islands feed is a woman's plane.
Welcome to the woman's plane.
Yeah. Where's the conch shell to beckon us? Anytime a man acts shitty, somebody raises a conch shell to the sky and I appear on Twitter.
I love that. I love it. Summon her to woman's plane.
Literally. Also, we did get a new 5-star review last week from JJKKT1000, who said, Queens, okay. Love the whole Hot Dummy stream, as that is my preferred watching material. Good banter, funny, good recaps, everything you need for these shows. So thank you very much.
Thank you. That's great.
And one person had Hot Dummies on Islands in their Spotify Wrapped that I saw. So that's so cool.
I don't listen to podcasts on Spotify Spotify. So I never get it included in my Wrapped.
I have officially changed to listen to podcasts on Spotify. It's just new, but I was pretty caught up on podcasts. So it was really easy to go in and just follow all the feeds I wanted to follow and then mark everything old as played, which is a feature Spotify has, which is really cool.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm liking it so far. I want the stats next year. I want to know what podcasts I'm listening to the most.
So it didn't, you weren't using it for long enough to get the stats?
No, I literally, like, the day after Spotify Wrapped, I was like, I'm starting the podcast on Spotify. I want the stats next year. Because the only podcast I listened to on Spotify before this is Nothing Much Happens, which is a going to sleep podcast. Mm. And the only reason I listen to it on Spotify is because, pro tip for all the sleepy podcast listeners, I love to put a sleepy time podcast on 0.8 speed and it will put you out so fast. And so you can't point it on Apple Podcasts. I think you can only do 0.5, which is like comically slow.
I think the one time that I was trying to listen to podcasts on Spotify, I couldn't figure out how to change the speed. And that might just be me, user error. This was also several years ago.
Yeah, no, I think they've made it a lot easier.
Work. Okay, so I think that at the time it wasn't an option. And I was like, well, I can do 1.5 on Apple Podcasts. And then I just didn't go back. But maybe I'll start using it because it's like, I'm listening to music on Spotify. I might as well have it all together. But anyway.
And like, I want the data. And yeah. Spotify gets me the data. Apple Music did a Wrapped this year, but there's no Apple Podcast Wrapped. So
see, that doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't they include that with Apple Music?
Yeah, it's rude. What I think is funny is that Sam Moore did this last year, switched to podcasts on Spotify because he wanted stats. But because he doesn't listen to music on Spotify, he didn't get a Wrapped.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't work the other way around. If you only listen to podcasts on it, you don't get a Wrapped.
Yeah, so okay. I guess Apple is being consistent then. Okay. Well, anyways, if anyone else has Hot Dummies on Islands in their Spotify Wrapped, I would absolutely love to see it. Yeah. Tag us on Twitter at Kirsten Said What, at Jenny Autumn, at Brian _ Scally, at Maggie doesn't have Twitter anymore. Just at all the Hot Dummies people if it's in your top, because it's so fun to see that. And I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I thought I saw a few mess magnets.
I did see some mess magnets.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I was just like, Hot Dummies Islands is like my like passion project of life. Like that's my child. And it's just so cool to think that somebody listens to, like, this person listened to more Hot Dummies than they did Big Brother podcasts on RJP.
Wow.
Like what? That's crazy. There's so many Big Brother podcasts.
Statistically, that's just so unlikely. So I loved it.
And I hope
love
so, I'm sure
that, Hot Dummies.
Yeah.
Ears. I don't know. We should call them Hot Dummies.
And I'm sure they're listening. And I mean that with love. Like, I am so appreciative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Jill brought up to me that we've been calling the fans of the Temptation Island podcast the Feather Brains. And does that translate to the whole Hot Dummies network? I don't know. But it's because someone called me and Maggie Feather Brains in a mean comment and we reclaimed it. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know because if it's just specific to, but it doesn't have anything to do with Temptation Island. It was just about your coverage, right?
Yeah.
So it's like,
I don't know.
Yeah, because it's confusing if you're like splitting it up between the shows, because I feel like,
yeah, most people probably aren't just listening to like one of them.
There might be some that are just like, this is my preferred Hot Dummies on Island venture. But I feel like if it's like, if this is your thing, this is your thing, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, y'all might be the Feather Brains. It's fine. Yeah. Let me know if you have
a
problem.
They come up
with
like multiple names, but that could also get confusing.
it is a little confusing. And how am I supposed to keep it straight? I have one brain cell and I share it with Sasha, so I don't always have it.
I was like, could we do something with like F boy? And then I was like, well, like what's like gender neutral way of doing like F boy, and then I was like F babies, and I was like, oh, this is getting weird.
The F babies
thoughts just happened very quickly in my brain, and I didn't have to share it, and I probably shouldn't have.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm so glad you did.
Like
I appreciate
the K babes, but it's like the F babes.
I think what if it was like the F theys, because it could be any pronoun.
That could work. Well, I think babe is.
I know. I like
that's definitely neutral.
I agree. Babe is definitely gender neutral.
Anyone could be babe. But
yeah,
we'll keep workshopping it, because I think we'll get more F Boy Island. I feel. You think that
I think it's
up again.
I think it's been renewed, hasn't it? Oh. Or is that something else? Okay, let me
know.
F-Boy.
That would be great if it is.
Season. I'm sorry. If Riverdale gets seven seasons and F-Boy Island gets canceled after one on the CW, like, there's no God.
There's no hope for society, which.
Okay. Has it been canceled or renewed? Season three ratings. Compared to season two, it's up 21% in their 18 to 49 demo and up 26% in live and same day ratings. So
that sounds
it is
good,
doing
right?
better than it did for season two. And they took a chance on it after season two.
Yeah. I feel like.
Oh, no. Well, this website, their take is that it will be canceled. But like, I don't know. I hope it's not.
Who are they anyway? Yeah, I hope not, too, because I feel like, you know, in terms of the overall product, there are way worse dating shows and like hot dummy shows. No offense. Like, I just feel like
this show is so fun.
Yeah. Like, for what it is, you know, we've got a great host. It's fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm. It's tongue in cheek, but it's really smart at the same time as also being so stupid.
And it's probably like the most feminist of the like hot dummies shows, right? Because like, even though, you know, sometimes the women are made like a fool by these terrible men, the idea is they're the ones in control. And there's lots of like, you know, yeah. poking fun at F-boys, which I don't know, feels pretty feminist to me.
But. I think that it has more of a, at the very least, a feminist lens compared to yes. other shows. So yes. I think you're right on that. And there's the opportunity for the women to screw over the men in season two. So that's
I just feel like, you know, in the year of the Barbie movie, we can't be canceling F-Boy Island. Okay. This is the show that we need.
It would be wrong to cancel it.
Continue. You continue.
Oh, I was going to say, and if it does get canceled, I have it on good authority of a person in my DMs who I should have like written their name down into my notes, but I don't want to pull up my phone right now, that FY Island Australia is very good. So that could always be a project for us to take on at another time.
Because when I was looking on Crave, I think, to start watching season two, I saw that there was a bunch of other ones and I was like, oh, I didn't realize there are all these different
I had no clue.
Different versions. But what I was going to say is I have started season two. I think I've I think I'm like halfway through. Okay. And I will say I'm not watching it with like a 100% attention. It's been a little bit of a background show, but it's been interesting. I didn't realize that, that Benedict and Mercedes were in competition on their previous season.
I didn't want to say too much.
No, I know. You don't have to say more because at least at the point that I'm at, they are still pursuing the same girl, which I feel like it would be weird if that changed at this stage of the show. So it must get down to, anyway, I haven't finished it, but I got a flight coming up tomorrow. So I think I'm going to load up the rest of the episode and finish it before I'm back to do the finale. Cause I want to be able to compare and contrast the finale.
I'm excited for the finale coming up next week, but I don't think anything could top the season two finale.
The other thing is that I forgot that I forgot how much I missed like the swearing.
Yeah.
I forgot that it got like watered down a little bit once it moved to CW. I was like, oh yeah, like they used to be able to actually like say fuck boy, sorry to whatever the rating of this podcast is, but
I think technically like the official rating is that this is like family friendly, but anyone who's ever listened to the feed knows that that's not the case.
Whenever I see like a hit or quit podcast that Rob and I have done, and then I like look at the like notes on it and then it's like you know, safe for everyone. I'm like, it's not safe for anyone, quite honestly.
I probably said some really dumb shit. So, but yeah, I forgot how much like more raw it was. Like the conversations felt like a little bit more like unfiltered, not just because of the swearing. It just felt like a little bit like less produced in a way, but like still very well produced. I don't know how else to describe that. So I missed like a little bit of the edginess of it before, but I also want it to survive and have a better audience. So if that's what needs to happen, it's fine. Cause it's not like it used to be called Fuckboy Island and they changed it to, and it was always FBI Island. It's just that now it's FBI Island.
We're only one time. Only one time. Should we get into actually talking about this episode? Because I know you wanted to keep this short, and then I got took us on a journey away from the path that we're supposed to be on.
I was
you participating.
Yeah, I was definitely contributing to the path. So
okay, first of all, the CW spoiled their own show this weekend, and you texted me to make me aware of this.
Yeah, in case you cared, like I don't know if you follow the FBoy Island Instagram account, but I do, and they spoiled their own cliffhanger, not once but twice, and potentially thrice. I don't know, maybe a third time happened, and I wasn't aware of it. But at least two different posts of theirs. Prior to the Friday airing of the show in the US, spoiled the cliffhanger that they left us with last week, where Katie walks off when she's trying to make her decision between saving Benedict and Marco. And the first spoil wasn't as obvious as the second one, but it killed me because I watched the video. So it was like a trailer. But in the trailer of like the next episode, they showed a clip of like Benedict talking like in a series of like stuff where they're all talking about like the heat they're getting at the mansplain. It was like the clip of him being like, oh, like Vince, like you're gonna have to explain that one. So like you could perhaps think that maybe that didn't necessarily mean that he was one of the final two, but like it was pretty obvious. And so I thought like Katie was commenting on the Instagram and was like, what the hell, guys? Why are you like spoiling your own cliffhanger? So then that confirmed to me that I was like, okay, yeah, she does pick Benedict. Yeah.
Well, so Katie also helped spoil it.
She did, but also I noticed it and was like, why? Oh, because I was trying to read like whose arm was what, because they would just like keep showing like clips of Katie. Anyway, so that was the first thing. And then like a day later, there was another post that was literally just a slide of three photos of the women sitting on the couches between their two final guys. And they put the photo of Katie, Benedict, and Vince as the first photo. Like you didn't even have to scroll to get spoiled. Like it was on your feed. And then the comments on that one were ridiculous. Like people were being like, what the hell, guys? Katie was commenting. Vince was like, he's like, I'm about to spoil the ending if you guys keep doing this. Like it was
Vince.
They're pissed, which I understand, because it's like they want like people to, if they're producing the show this way, if they're editing it to be like big cliffhanger, like better to tune in next week, and they're spoiling their own product on Instagram before it even airs, it's like, okay, then what are we holding our secrets for? Like, you know, maybe Katie and Vince are together in love and they're like, why are we, maybe we just want to protect, like be happy publicly because you apparently don't care about spoiling. I don't know. Maybe I'm fan fictioning it a little bit here, but I just thought it was wild to do it twice so blatantly.
It's just ridiculous. And the fact that Katie and Vince are both like, wow, I'm like, okay, so like, are they together? Are they in the room together right now commenting on this Instagram post? But also like, I think it makes them look kind of bad to be so
upset in public about the spoilers. It's possible
other people from the show commented, but truthfully, even though the previous men were featured in this show,
we don't know their names anymore. Nikki said it tonight.
Yeah, she knows. But I did. Yeah, it seemed that, and it might just show me the comments of people I follow, because I follow Katie. But anyway, just insane that, you know, this got spoiled. I wasn't super shocked, obviously, but.
Oh my God. And they're like straight up hating on the CW in the comments. Like
maybe Vince, it was a bad.
So Vince says, I'm one more spoiler away from telling y'all who won. And then Katie says, tune into Instagram to find out what happens ahead of time. And then Vince says, tell me this is your network's first reality show without telling me it's your first reality show.
Oh, Vince. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well.
I mean,
they maybe shouldn't say that, but also I'd be pissed too.
I'd be mad, but I feel like I would be like once you've been on a show for a network, you have like conceivably some context behind the scenes. And I'd be like, hey, what the hell? Why is it being done like this?
Now, I wonder if there's something to the fact that both Katie and Vince have been on a show before and they're like, our standards are higher because the shows that we've been on, like, were not such janky operations that were spoiling their own product. And they're just like, this is super disappointing because they've seen how good it can be, which I can't believe I'm saying that. I don't even know what the show that Vince, I already forget what it's called.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that the show Vince was on before was good. But I didn't see
maybe
it though,
they were so. Spoiling it at least. Like, you know,
well, I think
know
people have to be watching it for you to spoil it.
Anyway, this just seemed absolutely wild to me. I don't know if an intern is getting fired or if they just don't give a shit.
I don't think they care. They would have deleted the post. So that all happened. So we go into the show aware of who is going to get selected, even though there was literally a cliffhanger.
I warned you in case you didn't want to spoil yourself.
No, I.
But you were too curious. Yeah.
There's no chance I'm following the FY Island Instagram account. Like, period, not happening. Yeah. But if you tell me information is out there, I'm gonna seek it out. Unless the show Brian Scally watches, because I can't know spoilers, because then he won't talk to me anymore.
Right. Yeah. which is understandable. Yeah. You didn't have to look far. Like, I was like, literally, you just have to go to their account. It's like,
exactly. It was right there. It was the first slide. I was shocked.
It's on their grid.
So then it's like, you and I have this information. We go to start watching the episode. And then the previously on was so intense. They're building up this decision so much, even though we're like, okay, well, I already know. Like, this could have been such a big TV moment, but you guys are dumb. Yeah. And then it goes straight into Nikki talking to Katie, and Katie is crying. And she's so upset about Benedict being an F-boy. She thinks that it could have been so normal if he had come in as a nice guy. They had a good connection. And she's talking about, like, kind of wanting to pick Marco, but not wanting to pick. Like, I felt like it was so clear she did not want to pick Marco. She does not have a romantic connection with Marco. But she's like, I don't date F-boys. So
and she doesn't want to reward Benedict because she feels really, like, blindsided by the fact that he is an F-boy. And, like, it really changes her perspective on him. But ultimately, like, you know, and Nikki's advice was basically just like, yeah, you got to go with your gut, which.
And it's like, the thing is she's talking about Benedict and she's like, I like him so much. We have such a good connection. I just don't trust it anymore because of this. But with Marco, it's like, well,
or no, connection.
I just feel like he should be rewarded for being a nice. It's like, but like you have no connection with him. You've never really liked him.
Yeah. And then it makes you wonder, it's like, at this point, is she settled on Vince and she's basically just choosing who is going to be at the end there? And is she, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking about it a little too like meta, but there's part of me that's like, if she doesn't plan on picking Benedict or Marco, like, is that like,
who cares?
Yeah, it's like do they get money if they get second place? Like, I don't know if there's anything behind the scenes where it's like better to be the person that doesn't get chosen at two as opposed to three. But I don't know, maybe it was like a pride thing for her where she's like, I just don't want to look stupid for picking, like knowingly picking an F boy who I thought was like actually a nice guy. I don't know. But you're right. She knowing that Marco was a nice guy made her appreciate him more, especially because of the contrast of finding out Benedict was an F boy. I honestly think that's it. Like, she has not been interested in Marco in a long time.
And it's also like, I think there's so much of it that it is kind of weird too. Like, everyone's like, oh well, I don't want an F boy that's gonna take the money, blah 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 blah. And it's like, well, in season one, the F boy took the money and then they took it away from him. So
So who knows maybe, what's gonna happen this season, right?
Like, it could be anything. I just don't know if that's something to be as concerned about anyways.
Maybe the nice guys have the option to take the money now. Like, I don't know. Because they're all talking as if like, well, at least if I pick a nice guy, I know that he can't take the money.
Yeah, and what a basis for a relationship that is, you know?
The bar is in hell.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I just want to say on Marco's elimination here, he looks so devastated, but also like, happy for Benedict at the same time. Like, it's so weird.
Benedict.
Like, his little bromance.
He loves him.
And he, like doesn't really say anything in front of everyone, I feel like. But then CJ gives this, like, really long statement about how Danielle has made this experience. He has such a genuine connection with her. She made him want to be a better man, and thank you for that. I just want the best for you. Like,
something happened in that shower.
He is crying. He looks like he comes across like he likes her so much. And I have in my notes, if she picks, like, this is already so bad, but if she picks Jared, this is going to be extra bad in hindsight.
Oh.
Because TJ clearly, I think, would have died for her.
Yeah, it did kind of seem out of nowhere. But I was just like, what? what did she do to this man? Because like, is this just like the first time that like CJ has had someone be like, put him in his place and be like, you're the way that you are acting and portraying yourself is like not attractive and it doesn't reflect well on you. And that's not the kind of person that women are actually going to want to be with if that's something you want in the future. Like, maybe this is the first time that someone has like kind of said that to him, but yeah. He's like, you made me want to be a better man. I was like, what? Because she told you to delete your TikTok. Like,
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, like, okay. Maybe. But yeah, it's so I respected Daniela a lot more in this episode for reasons that we'll get to when we finally get to the mansplain of it all. But like, man, I'm struggling with the Jared of it all. And I think that there is a very, very real possibility that that is who she picks. And
yeah,
I just think that like she doesn't know this, but she, if you're not going to pick Christian, you had CJ and Jared. And I just think that like, CJ was way more obviously like actual reformed F-boy, which is what they're saying is like, you know, there are F-boys, but they can be reformed. Whereas like, I don't think Jared comes off. He comes off as someone who just has like the gift of spin. You know what I mean? Like he's just very good at talking, which reads, yeah. Current F-boy, well, like still the same yes. old bitch. Like,
and the fact that we are seeing him in confessionals,
yes,
straight up countering what he is saying to Daniela, that he is lying wild. To her face, or at least spinning the truth to her face. It's like, okay, well, we know what he's going to do. We know what's in his heart, and it's hatred. So we just don't want him to get rewarded, right?
And I don't know.
So it's just really sad.
Yeah, it is. That's the thing, is I have the information here, so I do know that Jared is a terrible person. But I wonder how old CJ is. And I know I've looked him up before because I was shading the fact that he didn't actually end up playing in the NBA.
But yet we don't remember.
But I don't remember his age. But I mean, Jared himself said, don't trust 24-year-olds.
Literally. So if any of you are 24, I'm sorry.
But oh, he's also 24. CJ is also 24.
Oh, takes one to know one.
So you know what? I mean, maybe she had to make a decision between two 24-year-old F-boys. And yeah, she's just picking the wrong one, I guess. But there's still time for her to pick Christian, right?
She could also hopefully pick Christian.
Hopefully.
I think that they're manufacturing some of this doubt about Christian. But I also am like so scared that she's going to pick Jared.
Ugh. Yeah.
So, okay. It's time for the mansplain.
Yes.
They didn't show us any Limbro segments this whole season. And now all of the
they're like, you're back from Limbro. And I'm like,
they were back from a hotel. In Limbro. Got it. Okay. awesome. And it's, I feel like the mansplain was a lot shorter this season, or maybe I'm just not remembering the other two correctly, but
I feel like the mansplain
took up more of the episode before, and both overnight dates happened in the finale previously.
That's what I was expecting. But I only have the first season to compare to because I haven't gotten to the mansplain for season two yet. But I was kind of confused when I saw that it was ending and I was like, oh, I still have like 20 minutes left in this episode.
Yeah.
Like,
it was weird.
And then I was like, are they doing all the overnight dates? No, we just did three of them. So
yeah, super weird
way of putting it together. Maybe they just weren't delivering. Maybe these.
I mean, even from what we saw, I feel like they weren't.
That's what I'm saying. Like they did the best with what they got.
So first they talk about Daniela's final two. And this is where I thought I was going to like have an aneurysm because all of the dudes, including the nice guy, like everyone is saying, oh, Jared comes off so genuine. He's so nice. He's clearly into Daniela. And I'm just like, Jared is a sociopath. Like
yes.
He's fooled everybody.
That's what's terrifying is not only has he fooled Daniela and, you know, he's He's got some sort of charisma. He's, I guess, attractive to her. They have some sort of connection. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can place that aside. The fact that this man has convinced all of these other Everyone. Men who are supposed to be like gifted in, at least some of them, in like pulling their own nonsense. Like, it should be a takes one to know one kind of situation. And they apparently, he's apparently got them all fooled, which
I have seen some gaslighters on TV in right. the past year, the past 2 years, however long.
I mean, and that's your business here. There have been
some very bad gaslighters on mm-hmm. the shows we've covered just this year. And I think Jared might be the best gaslighter of them all. And he's only 24. What
That's
the hell?
That's what's terrifying.
What's he gonna going be to like gain at 30?
Power. No, he's going right? to, he is like, he's only just getting started. Because if he's that skilled at that age,
like just imagine with a little bit more life experience what he'll be like. It's actually yeah. terrifying. It's and crazy. And then people start. So Steven, the one who looks like Zach Morris, decides that he's going to be like, well, Christian is only a nice guy because 50K is more than he makes in a year. And like, he doesn't measure up to you and he can't provide for you. Or no, he's like, he can't provide for you. And Daniela's like, I don't need someone to provide for me. I provide for myself. I'm looking for a partner to build a life with. And Steven goes, well, he just can't match up to you. And Daniela goes, well, neither could you. That's why you're over there.
And this is when and she said, so stop disrespecting him. And I was like, thank you, girl, because, you know, I appreciate that she stood up for herself and was like, I'm not some fucking damsel in distress. And like, I'm like, you know, needing someone to provide for me. Like, I have my own career. Like, I am an adult. I'm not looking for someone to just like take care of me. Yeah. And also, you definitely don't match up to me. So you are on the other side here. You have nothing to say. Stop disrespecting this guy. You're clearly just bitter that he is here and you're not. Yeah. Just like also just like such a like dirty insult to like hurl. And I don't know. I just feel like it reflected so poorly based on everyone's reaction. Like I had like paused the episode and like everyone's faces were like of disgust. Like there was a little bit of like shock, but it was mostly like, I can't believe this motherfucker would say that. Like that is, it wasn't like, oh, good burn. Like no one thought this was a cool thing to say. Like no one thinks it's cool to say like, oh, the 100K or 50K is more than his teacher salary. Like, ooh, what a sick burn. It's like, everyone's like, I can't believe you like, said that. Also, who are you?
That's like most likely not true. And also, right. if it were true, that's like damning on like the way teachers are treated, not on someone for being a teacher. To me, that makes it even more of a noble pursuit to be a teacher, even exactly. though you're getting paid trash. But I'm like, Christian's 30. He doesn't need this like Christian's literally my age. So I don't think he needs like this nonsense. I just found, though, a website called thefamousdata.com has a page on Christian L from FY Island season 3.
Okay.
And it has like his like bio is just whatever. And then it goes Christian L height. Christian stands at an average stature. Christian L education.
Oh, this is one of those Christian AI has kept his websites.
Educational
that I'm
information
with.
Private. Nevertheless, study on this is underway and this portion will be updated shortly. Christian L family. Christian has not provided any information about her parents or siblings to the media. An inquiry is underway and an update will be provided as soon as possible. Like,
all right.
It's just so ridiculous. But I have found that net worth is between 100 to 500,000. Okay. I don't know how they would know his net worth and not anything about his education.
Wow. Do you think that's because they're spoiled that he wins and he takes all of the money? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Like, okay. So weird.
But like, what is a weird like ballpark to make? But
I mean, and
I feel like for the average 30-year-old, that's a pretty high net worth if you don't have like family money or fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
But also they don't know anything on this website.
Yeah.
It's These are fake. All like just, yeah, it's all just like data mined from like whatever they could glean from Instagram. And it's like a bot.
Yeah. And they don't even seem to have Christian's last name. So
yeah. Christian L, of course.
You're not going to be able to find much on that.
Yeah.
So then that's kind of all that happens in Daniela's section. Then they start talking about Hallie's guys. And really, I didn't get much out of this. Like, everyone was going after Mercedes. People were saying it's rude that he went against his brother.
Yeah. Because the unique thing about Hallie's two guys is that both of their brothers are in the
group mansplain.
Of exiled men. In EJ's twin, Keem, and Mercedes' brother, Marquise. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get a lot of arguing back and forth in like whether it was disrespectful. Like, I do feel like Keem kind of makes a good point, which I think coming from Keem as another person who was playing alongside their brother, like if anyone's going to make this point, it's probably best coming from Keem, where he's like, do you want to be with someone who publicly disrespects his own brother? Like, he came in here and sniped a girl from his own brother with no like regard to him. But the difference is that Marquise he steps up and says, you know, it wasn't disrespect. Like, they just had a better connection and like, that's okay. So he's like, so it's like, it's hard when everyone else is being like, this guy disrespected his own brother. And then the brother is like, actually he didn't. And it's fine. Because it's like, okay, well, the person that we're defending here, I guess, doesn't feel that it was a bad thing. But I still feel like it is like a pretty decent point to make, where it's like, this is a guy who we've seen on the previous season he was on repeatedly refer to this as a game, and that he's the best to ever play the game and the best who will ever play the game, like in future. And he will do whatever he wants to get what he wants,
mm-hmm.
including stepping on his own brother's toes. So is that the kind of person that you are going to trust? Like, it's not a terrible point, but no. It just doesn't seem to really take any like traction, because Marquise himself is there kind of basically defending Mercedes.
Exactly. I feel like Marquise had a little bit of a connection with Daniela.
Yeah. But it wasn't.
And a little bit of a connection with Hallie, right? Yeah. And it was like,
it was 80-20, the eggs. Mostly in Hallie's basket.
Yeah, weird thing with the eggs. And like, I just feel like Marquise really had no connection with anyone, realistically. Yeah. Like, he was never a front runner. He was not going to go far. And Mercedes has charm. Like,
yeah.
He's also a charming guy.
I think that, like, physically, Marquise is more, like, my type than...
I could see that. They're both very attractive, just in different ways.
Yeah. I think just, like, the vibe of Marquise is, like, more, like... But...
Yeah.
I guess I just don't like lace shirts. I don't know.
You weren't one of the three people on FY Island, so you didn't get to have a say.
Right.
Who got to last longer based
and
on
I mean,
your preferences.
Also, physically is only one part of it. It's like, if you don't have any game, if you are awkward to talk to, and, you know, that's like, and it seems like Mercedes, he says he's best at the game. He knows how to talk. He knows how to, like, and he also got a lot of love from the guys here, too, is like, I think he was also a bit nervous that people were going to hate on him, but aside from the thing about, you know, his brother, it doesn't seem that guy, Nick, who was apparently a nice guy and was kind of a dick bag. Brought up the thing from season two. And then Mercedes basically like claps back to say, like, I split once before. Like, why wouldn't I do it again? Like, why? I would never disrespect a woman like that. Like, that's not me. So kind of shut that down.
And that's, and period, it was over. Yeah. So, and I really feel like nobody had much even to say about EJ. Like, it just,
like it like lightly came up, but mostly in conjunction with talking about Mercedes and his brother. It was just kind of like he's more loyal to his brother. Well, I don't think Daniela cares about or Hallie cares about that.
Well, especially because like, you know, one of the only people that really spoke up for EJ was Keem. But we did get like a confessional from Hallie saying that EJ was impressing her and he was like being confident and was like saying some really nice stuff. But I just ultimately I'm like, have they even kissed? Like, I have not. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting mixed up because there were two of them that look alike and I'm like, can't remember who had what dates and stuff, but I'm like, I don't remember EJ and Hallie really like hitting it off. Like it's
not
still
to the same level as
I still don't understand how she picked EJ over Evander. Like that was way shocking to me. Cause they're all F boys. So it's like, I could understand if EJ was a nice guy and she's like, oh, I gotta pick a nice guy, even though I'm probably going to pick Mercedes. But the fact I just thought she had more of a connection with Vander, but anyway, what do I know?
I really thought so too. So we're both out here confused. And then it goes into Katie's, which was like, everyone was shocked that Benedict was an F boy this time. Like the
it's fun to see everyone. Like,
cheering and just like floored.
Which like, to be fair, they had more basis for a reason on why they would think that he would be a nice guy because
he literally did it last previously. Year.
Yeah. Like you would expect the person that went on as an F boy returning and be like, no, I'm a nice guy. Like I learned from my experience. Like you don't expect the other way around as much.
It's like, oh, he regressed. His heart got broken and he became a worse person.
Yeah. Which happens.
It happens to the best of us and the worst of us.
That's his villain origin story, I suppose.
Oh God, literally. and so people are saying like, some nice things about Benny. Like Marco goes on like a soliloquy about how nice Benny is and how he woke up next to him every day and they would work out and talk and like, oh, you know, he really likes Katie because we talked about it. But the one that got me was Jonathan, who's like that really awkward guy who was like, oh, it's so hard to be me, I think, earlier in the season.
With the curly hair,
yeah. And he's like, being an F-boy in your 20s is one thing, but how do you spell F-boy over 30? S-A-D. And you like think that he like thinks he dropped the mic in that moment. Like he thinks he did something.
Oh yeah. He's like, oh, and it's like just him doing the
Nobody else cares. Everyone's like, okay. And he also
The sentiment though. Like I understand, like it just like he didn't have to do it like that. He could have just been like, he didn't have to do the spelling thing. It's like you like that was weird. You could just been like, it's pathetic if you're still acting like an F boy in your 30s, like grow up. Like that I would support, but like the way he did it was just, it was so awkward. It was perfect for Jonathan though.
It's hard being him, okay?
Yeah, he's showing us in real time how hard it is to be him.
Poor Jonathan. Damn. Okay, Jonathan. And he has a confessional about how like, oh damn, like if Benedict is an F boy, like I know nothing. I'm an idiot. And I was like, yeah, you are. It's fine.
He's like, if he is not a nice guy, then I give up.
And I think we all feel that way. Like if Vince had turned out to be an F boy, literally I quit.
I'm just like, what are we doing here? Yeah.
And then Vince like goes off about how he feels like he's met his soulmate and he's so in love. And Mercedes in the confessional, very real, clocking that like this is like love bombing behavior. Mm-hmm. Like it might be real with Vince and Katie, but it's crazy how fast he's saying this stuff.
Yeah. And also in front of people too, which like that, not that that makes it like better if it is love bombing, but like I just think it's wild to be like saying this in front of everyone. And this is the kind of stuff that has people not on your side. Like, even though more hands get raised for people saying that Katie should pick Vince over Benedict, I didn't count, but it seemed like more people said Vince.
Yeah.
It does seem like there are a few people that are pretty turned off by the way, like, Vince comes on strong and also very publicly, and that it seems fake.
And honestly, I'm one of them.
Yeah, no, I that's the thing. It's like, I'm rooting for Vince, but then he likes, I'm like, please just slow your roll, my guy. You know, like, I just,
it's like, Jenny, have you watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yes. Not like every single episode, but yes.
He's, it's giving Boyle behavior.
Oh, no. Oh. Yeah.
Well, you hate it because I'm right.
Yeah. Like, the any attraction that was there is really quickly waning with that comparison. Oh, yuck.
Can't help it.
Yeah, it is just, it's, yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And I just, yeah, it's uncomfy. And then the other big revelation is Kim brings up that this whole thing has been a joke to Benny because he called Katie easy at some point in the season. Yeah. And that really like blows shit up.
Yeah. But he also kind of like quickly just said, he's like, I meant she was, when I said that, I was saying she was easy to talk to. And then he goes to my favorite go-to, which was, I was raised by women, so I would never disrespect women.
Well, if you're not raised by women, how would you know that they're people?
True. Well,
come on.
I mean, sometimes it takes people a while to realize that women are people, even if they're raised by them.
Well, yeah, we've seen that before.
We've seen that in real time. So, yeah. And then also this guy, Connor, who I didn't remember, but of course, like, there needs to be a guy named Connor on a show like this. You know what I mean?
The
like,
fact there's that there's only one is surprising.
That's what's shocking, truly. But he loves Benedict and then says, Vince is the biggest clout chaser here. And then goes on to say that apparently Vince talked about, like, watch parties, after parties, and like getting chicks and stuff. And so like now the conversation has shifted to Vince saying all of this stuff. And like, I think this is even more shocking for Katie to hear, because at this point she's expecting like bad stuff to be said about Benedict. And so.
Yeah. And yeah. I feel like Vince did not do a great job talking about this in the mansplain. I feel like he did a good job talking to Katie later, but in the mansplain, he's really just kind of like, oh, that didn't happen. I maybe talked about a watch party, but like,
and I was saying, like, people will recognize you at festivals and want to take photos with you. But here's the thing, I believed him. And I do feel like he did, like you said, he did a better job one-on-one with Katie. I just felt like he was extremely, like, uncomfortable during the mansplain. And it came out in a lot of different ways. Because, like, I was even just noticing, like, how awkward it was that, like, you know, Katie sitting in between them.
Yeah.
Vince has his arm around Katie. But, like, Benedict has, like, his hand on, like, Katie's bare thigh because she's, like, wearing a, like, short dress, and she has like what, and I just like thought that was like, I don't know, that's just like such an intimate way to touch someone. And I just feel like this says to me that like Vince is really uncomfortable because he's sitting next to the girl that he, you know, apparently feels these very, very strong feelings for, whether it's love bombing or not. This is apparently what he feels. And the other guy like has his, like, is sitting inches away and has his hand on her like leg. And I think that he probably, I just read his body language as very like uncomfortable. And then even Katie comments on it because she says that he felt physically closed off and that, like, you know, Benedict was like physically comforting her, but like, I'm like, well, maybe he just felt like it was weird to have like Benedict having one hand on one thigh and then you having like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, well, you're not a couple. Brother, like, it's like, this is weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like understood where that, if that is how he felt, like, I totally get it, because it would be weird for me to be like physically affectionate in sitting inches away from the other person as they're also being like, I don't know. Yeah, it's just a little bit weird to me. So I think that that explains a lot of why he was like seeming physically closed off, because I just think that like he probably cares more.
Yeah.
And so the situation was a lot more uncomfortable, but
I think
that was my interpretation.
Yeah, I think you're correct. And Vincent confessional is like, I am a lawyer. I don't need clout. I don't like, this is not like, it doesn't matter. I have a life. So I feel like that's more of the argument that he should have been making in the moment. But if he's so uncomfortable, you might not always think on your feet so much. And I think people have this impression that lawyers in general are always going to be able to make a perfect argument, but like,
yeah,
they study and they practice and they read case law. They don't just like instantly know what to say in every situation.
Well, and I also can see him thinking that making that same argument that he made in confessional in front of everyone could actually like reflect poorly for him to be like, actually, I'm a lawyer. I don't need clout. Like, I have like a more like reputable job than the TikTok comedian. And with Katie being like
a comedian as well and an influencer, like, it's not going to make her feel great.
Yeah. So especially after we have Steven or whatever his name was, like making the dig at Christian and his job, like, I just think that like Vince probably was like, I'm not going to stoop that low in front of everyone. I will do it in confessional though, and refer to Benedict as a TikTok comedian. I don't need that, clout.
That
but
does
not wrong.
Be his job. So
yeah. And I think that clout would help you as a TikTok comedian. So it's like, he's not wrong to say that. It's just, it does come out really rude. Well,
and also like, especially, and we can say this because we're podcasters, so we can be rude as fuck if we want to be. And for Benedict to have been on the show as a nice guy, to lose and to come back as an F-boy, sure, you can say, oh, it's just because his heart was so broken. But I am kind of like, no, this is, he's like, well, I didn't get love. Let me get some clout.
Yeah. How else can this make great TV? Like, this is boring if I come on and I'm just a nice guy again. Like, 100%. What's the fun storyline? Let's do it for the plot, you know?
So true. So then the mansplain ends and we go to the dates.
The mega dates or whatever they're called.
Overnight dates or mega dates, whatever. I don't know what they call them.
The 24-hour dates, yeah.
Yeah, the overnights. And Daniela and Jared is first. And she literally says, I need to know if Jared is honest or is he a good con artist? And I just wanted to be like, wake up, wake up.
He's such a good con artist that he has everyone conned. Like the whole, like all of these men that are supposed to be good at spitting game as well are just as fooled by him. Like that is alarming.
That, like they're either just as fooled by him or they're like supportive of his journey, I guess.
You think that they're like seeing him as like the avatar? Because that's the other thing is like, okay, the mansplain is kind of a complicated concept. Because you are getting all of this like tea and all of this like information about the last two guys from people where the majority of them never had good intentions in the first place. Or maybe not majority, but at least 50% of them did not have good intentions and were shady. So like, are we trusting them? Like, are they rooting for someone that they feel like they relate to? Are they like, they don't want to see the nice guy win because that invalidates their experience? So it's like, you kind of have to take that whole stuff that happens at mansplain with like a grain of salt anyway, because half of these people are just like bullshitting still and they're just trying to make good TV. I know that's not the fun thing to say. It's like, we want to believe that this was all real drama, but I'm like, people are just gonna be making shit up because they want to have a good TV moment when they get one more chance to be on TV.
Well, and honestly, like I'm on board with them to just lie and make good TV. Yeah, I'm also here for good TV.
But if you are on the show and you're one of the three women sitting there, I think that you should be thinking that. Yeah. I just hope that you are thinking about that and be like, hey, no worries. You want to have your little moment. That's cool. But I'm really not going to take anything that you say as any real truth because I don't trust your intentions. There's a reason you're over.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Danielle is saying, but.
Yeah, but
yeah,
it doesn't matter if Daniela took them seriously or not, because they're all also like not dickmatized, but like whatever the like bromatized or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
They've been conned.
Yeah, they have been conned big time.
And it is extremely troubling.
And it's so difficult to watch this like date with Jared and Danielle, because we keep on getting like confessionals from Jared being like, oh, I can barely hold like an hour date or a 20 minute convo. Like I have to spend 24 hours. Like it's one thing to be like, I'm here to get that money. Like I'm here to collect the bag. Like Danielle seems cool, but like, you know, I came here with one thing in mind, blah, blah, blah. But like, he kind of goes out of his way to like,
he's like, so mean about her.
Yeah. Like that's the thing where I don't like, where I'm like, he's like leaning into being the villain. Like, honestly, Jared for House of Villains season two, because like this guy is putting Shake to shame. Like, if we're going to bring people from these kinds of shows onto House of Villains, where it's like, oh, you were just like kind of a douchebag on a love show. Like, oh, my God, make way for Jared. This guy is like evil.
Yeah, he's
saying,
I'm like, I don't even want him on House of Villains. I want him in prison.
Yeah, like we shouldn't give more attention to these kinds of people. But I'm just saying, like, this is true supervillain material. Like, this guy is, he doesn't have to go as far as he goes, because we're getting like the date of him like wooing her spliced with him being like, I hate her. He's like, oh, I do want like a family. You know, like I'm not lying about these things where I'm saying like I want a family in the next couple of years. It's just I don't want them with a woman who is 9 years older than me. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, right? Oh, like, Jesus. Yeah.
Sir, like, this is Wendy's. Like, what?
He says it himself. He said, don't trust 24-year-olds. Like, oh, my God.
He knows, I guess, like, damn.
Yeah.
All the dates are like interspliced with scenes of like the dudes back at home.
Yeah.
And it basically is just like, we get Benedict talking about how mad Christian is about the mansplaining and how that could hurt his time with Daniela. We get,
which like, if Christian's mad, he's like, he hides it well. Like, he's like very stoic.
He didn't come across that mad. And then Benedict was like, oh yeah, he's the Hulk and he doesn't like ever turn back into the doctor. And I was like, I mean, I don't know for sure, but like, it's giving racially charged. Like, it's weird
to me. It just felt like Benedict
mad.
Yeah. He didn't seem mad at all. And he definitely had the confessional where he was like, he's lucky that this is, because if like, in another situation, I like would have given him the beating of a lifetime or whatever, which like kind of fair. Like that was so screwed up what Steven said. But we didn't see that coming out in any of his behavior whatsoever. It just really felt to me like Benedict had like a line that he thought was funny and just wanted to use it. He's like, oh, I want to make like a Hulk line.
Yeah. And I didn't think he should have thought more about it before he maybe said that, because it comes across poorly. Whether he intended it to or not.
Exactly. Yeah, it did not. If that was true, that he was fuming and clearly angry, like, it certainly did not show
that way. It
didn't
make the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it's just like all the dudes hanging out. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Did anything? I liked that when they sang a song.
Yeah, they did. Like, they danced around the pool and they had like a song where it was like, where's my girl? Where's our girl? It was cute. It was like almost like a little music video montage. You know, I love the little bromance time. I enjoyed like Benedict and EJ kind of like talking shit together. Also, I felt like there were like numerous scenes where like Benedict had like a little goblet of red wine. And
yes,
I thought it delighted me to see that he was like always getting his wine on. I'm like, listen, you got to get through that day somehow.
And these reality shows are delivering with people drinking red wine lately.
Exactly. And I, you know, I love that. Hey, at least they had something else to drink besides Jose Cuervo.
That was probably the first time they didn't have to drink tequila. And Benedict is like, give me a glass.
Yeah. Well, and then Hallie and Mercedes date, they were on the beach having like, they were making cocktails. And I'm saying they were not drinking Jose Cuervo, because if they were, we would have gotten gratuitous shots of the bottles.
Yeah, we would have seen the label of which would have been brand of Jose Cuervo.
Yeah, like Hallie would have been like, I just thought that it'd be really fun if we could make these Jose Cuervo Blanco Tequila Sunrise.
We're making Jose Cuervo signature cocktails.
Yeah. So, and I did not see the label of the alcohol that they had. So it tells me that it was not sponsored.
Maybe Jose Cuervo only gave them so many bottles and they went through all of it finally, and so now maybe they can drink something else.
That's possible. Or maybe the cast all said, okay, like my stomach can't do any more of this.
I don't think that the cast would get a say in that.
That's a good point.
But like, I know I would have on day two been begging for anything else.
Please.
Like, please, can I please have a different hard liquor?
Don't you have a White Claw somewhere?
I just want a vodka soda.
Please. I'll settle for a Truly. I don't care.
Not a Truly. I wouldn't settle for a Truly.
They're so sweet. For like, and also, anyway, they're not that bad. I've had some, but some of them I'm like, just tasteful.
I've even like moved past White Claws at this point.
I'm a Cottage Springs, which is like a Canadian thing, but Cottage Springs is my seltzer of choice.
Yeah, they're good. Those
better.
Ones are good.
Nothing better.
Those ones are really good. Yeah, so I guess we should talk about Hallie and Mercedes' date, where she's like calling him out on the beach.
Yeah, but then like 2 seconds later, she's like, okay. He basically said like, okay, she says that her biggest fear is that he will split the money, but that's it. And like, she'll never hear from him again. And that would hurt her feelings. And Mercedes is like basically saying like he was hurt when that relationship ended and that he hasn't been in anything serious since then. And that Hallie exceeds the woman he feels like he deserves, and he's not even sure he deserves her and genuinely likes her a lot. And then he hits her with, you're my dream girl. And like the way he like looked away and like looked back at her and said it, I was like, oh, cringe. Like I definitely like physically cringed because it felt so fake. And then, so like I had this reaction, and then it was validating to have Hallie reply, I don't believe you. And we like, this is where you get the cut to commercial. And then when they come back to continue the conversation, she basically, you know, says like, I don't believe you, like this sounds like game. And he basically like recovers by basically saying like, you know, you're beautiful, you're a good person, and I'm comfortable with you, which I'm not with a lot of people, and I really like who I am with you. And then all of a sudden she's just like hard eyes, she's like, I love that.
And it's he says a really weird thing. Is he says that like the women he meets on the outside aren't on the level of what he thinks he deserves. But Hallie exceeds that to the point where he doesn't know if he deserves her. And that was like so weird. Yeah. It was such a weird thing to say.
All of it was weird.
Like, and like that was part of like the part before, I think she says, I don't believe you. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. He did say that first part before. Yeah.
I just want any men listening who date women to know that trying to make your date feel better by saying they're better than other women is like not the flex you think it is.
Yeah. Listen, number one red flag to me is when a man talks poorly about other women, especially their exes.
Yes.
Sorry. That's not to say that you can't have a bad experience with a previous person you dated, but if you're giving, oh, all my exes are crazy energy, I'm like, you're a problem. Like,
even if you legitimately had the most batshit experience with your ex where they like tried to burn your house down and like steal your life or some shit, the way that you talk about it is going to tell me a lot about who you are. Like, you could have had a super traumatic situation and you can talk about that in such a way that it's not painting an entire gender with the brush of that one situation.
Exactly. It's, yeah, because it's not even just how you talk about the people that you've dated, but I will say, like, anytime a guy does talk about all of their exes in, like, a poor manner, that tends to be a bad thing. But, like, other women in general, like, if you're basically, like potential suitors, I'm not going to feel better about you saying, like, oh, these other women are so basic and like they can't hold a candle to you. It's like, please compliment me without disparaging other people that I have no, like, I'm not competing against them. You know what I mean? Like, that is just such weird behavior.
And also, like, for the most part, we're all exactly like all of the other girls. So it's like kind
of that's not an insult. Oh, you're just like other girls. I'm like,
yeah, I am. Cool. And I love it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I think that's great. Call me basic. That's fine.
Yeah. And I'll take it. I'm happy to be basic. I
can
don't care.
Find my little sparkles of, you know, uniqueness in my own way. I don't need you to be lying to me by saying I'm worlds above other people, because that's just, it's just not true. Okay. You can talk about your connection. It's like the, like, that's the thing is, like, you can talk about how, you know, a certain person makes you feel a way that you can't, you haven't felt.
Yeah. No one else has ever made me feel this way before. Yeah. That's
the comfortable line, which I understand why that won her over, is like, you know, I like who I am around you. Like, you bring out a good side of me. Like, when he's saying those sorts of things, like, those are a lot better ways of saying that. But it's like, he literally just, like, went from saying, like, really not great stuff and just being like, oh, what's the plan B lines? And, like, just says those. And she's like, okay, that's great. I love that. I'm like, oh my God. I have these moments where I'm like, yes, she sees through the bullshit. And then it's just like, it goes away.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, she's picking him 100%. Yeah, there's no doubt.
You're in a situation with three F boys, and one of them has picked to share the money before. You're gonna take that.
She's got the most
bet.
Data. You know what I mean? Like, she's got reason. Like, yes, he came back as an F boy again, but he also shared the money when he was an F boy the last time. So I have reason to believe that he will probably do that again. Really don't know. And she doesn't really have a connection with EJ. So it's like, she's going to at least risk it with Mercedes. And maybe he does actually like her and they try it out. There's no way she's picking EJ. I'm sorry to him, but there's a bystander here.
There is no shot in hell. Like, even if hell froze over, like,
I also just feel like we haven't gone. And again, maybe this is just because he was on the show with his literal twin. But I just feel like he hasn't gotten enough content for me to feel like it would make sense for him to be the one that wins, you know?
Exactly. We are reading the edgic of F-Boy Island.
Yeah.
And who better to read that edgic than us?
Exactly.
Nobody. So then we go to Katie's date with Vince. And they're literally roasting marshmallows and, like, cuddling by the fire. And
they're making s'mores. Yeah.
Yeah. They talk about the clout conversation and Vince explains it. And she literally says, I believe everything you say.
And I actually think that, you know, what he said was pretty good, because she said, you know, like, was there any truth in that? Like, you know, was something, like, blown out of context, or was it, like, completely made up? And he's like, completely made up. He's like, I don't even talk like that. He's like, I am a lawyer. I did not come here for clout. I'm actually a pretty private person. And that isn't even the kind of thing I would ever say. So the way that they even, like, spoke about what I said doesn't even make sense, because that's not the way I talk. And she just, she doesn't question it. Like, he does a good job. And she's like, I believe you. Which she's probably right too, because as I was saying, like, these guys are just coming in and be like, oh man, we got to tank Vince's game somehow. Like, I'm going to be the person that gets up there and yeah. like makes up some shit so I have a moment on TV.
Like, huh? It was just so baffling.
Yeah.
The entire situation. So I'm glad that he was able to explain it, because it didn't feel like him like just talking to get out of it either. Like, it just really felt like he was being honest.
And it did seem sincere.
If he was lying, then he's a very good liar. And
we're screwed. But I also feel like Katie's reaction and behavior in this date is very telling, because she's like getting choked up with tears, saying like she sometimes doesn't realize how much she really cares about him, and she's excited to see what happens next. And then we get a confessional from her where she says she's the happiest she's been and could not care who Benedict even is at the moment, which I feel like none of them ever say stuff like that, where she's like clearly like she's saying like, I'm not even thinking about Benedict. Like, I am all in on Vince. Like, that is as pretty clear cut as it gets. Whereas, like, the other ones are all kind of keeping it a little bit more open ended.
But also, to be fair, the other ones aren't mentioning the person they're not on a date with.
That's true.
So I don't know if that's better or not.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe the fact that she's even mentioning his name, even though she's saying, like, Benedict who?
Right, it's like, huh? Yeah.
You brought him up, girl. But maybe she didn't. Maybe producer did.
But maybe they might have asked her. Well. So like, I don't have a strong opinion on that. But bringing it up as a potential counterpoint, because I am an argumentative butthead.
No, not a butthead. I think that it makes sense to view it from all of the potential ways that it could be, and also we want there to be some intrigue, because at this present time, it doesn't seem very likely that Katie would pick Benedict. Like, she struggled to even pick him as the second person because of the F-boy thing. Like, she was struggling and was going to potentially keep Marco, who she had no anything
like, she doesn't care if Marco lives or dies, but she was about to pick Marco.
She was about to pick him. So it's just like, it seems really far-fetched to me that she would throw everything away with Vince for Benedict, because I just think that she's not able, as much as she's like sort of hearing him out, I just don't think she's gonna be able to get past this thing.
So. Well, and she keeps saying, I feel like I just need time, but I don't think there's enough time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she said that ultimately so many times that I just can't see it not like factoring in.
Yeah. Because it doesn't even feel like they've had like a really good, like productive conversation since that all happened. Is she's just kind of like still trying to like, let him in a little bit. Like, I don't know. It's just, I guess we'll have to see how the date goes between the two of them. But I just,
Yes, I'm very curious, having seen Benedict on an overnight date before, what it will be like this time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. All three of the women ask the dude to come stay in their, what's it called again? I don't know.
I
can't remember what she called. They're like chalet type things, but I know it's not called a chalet.
Yeah. They're like motel rooms.
Yeah. They're little like almost like cabins.
Yeah.
A little micro suite type vibe. I cannot remember what they were calling it, even though there was like a very specific name.
Yeah.
And
I know what you mean.
So they're all staying overnight together, and the guys are
unraveling.
They're like losing their minds.
They're like, are they coming back? Christian seems like he's like, they're coming back, right? And like, you can tell Benedict knows how this goes. Like, he's drinking his red wine. He's like, well, we might as well stay up, but they're probably not coming back. They're staying.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like, I feel like they didn't say off the top, like, hey, this is the overnight date. And so it gave the men not on the dates the opportunity to just totally lose their shit, which I love that. But
didn't they say 24-hour mega date? So like, wouldn't that...
Did they say it to the guys, or did they just say that to us?
Yeah, so that's possible. But I know that Nikki did say 24. And then we got the confessional from Jared saying that he can't even handle like a 1-hour date with Danielle. So how is he going to do 24 hours? So in the very least, like, but he might have just known that. I don't know.
Because maybe Jared's done his research.
But it is weird to me if they said 24 hours and then these guys are all like, oh, why haven't they come home yet? It's like, because it hasn't been 24 hours yet.
I guess they're just acting because they're all honestly fake as fuck.
I suppose that the women have the option to send the guy home if they're not comfortable.
I think so.
Like, they're not forced to spend 24 hours.
Yeah, they're not forced to spend the night, but I think what they do is they make them sleep on the couch in the
pad. Oh, right. Because I do remember that from season one.
So I'm just a little confused. I guess, but with them all having different rooms and not just being in a house, where would they even go?
Yeah.
To stay.
Yeah.
If they weren't going to stay overnight. I don't know. Anyways, everyone's having hot and heavy makeouts. And then it ends with Vince like closing the door like, yeah, I'm about to get lucky. And then the episode's over.
And I wonder, like, Katie's cat's there. And I love Katie's cat, Tommy. He's very
Tommy's
cute.
Tommy's so cute.
But like, poor Tommy. Does he have his own room to go into or does he have to sit there and watch this?
Oh my God. Well, hopefully he has a private space to go to
so
that he's not traumatized.
I love that she brought her cat.
I don't think I would do any reality show that I couldn't bring my cat to.
I think that if I felt that Scarlett would travel better, that would be a serious consideration for me. And it would probably depend on like how long I was going to be away. But I just love that was a thing. Like, I'm like, yes, I understand you as a human. I would also, I'd be like, okay, I'll do this show, but like I'm bringing my cat.
So. Like, Tommy is coming and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And it was the right decision. He's very cute. And also, you know, like, it's probably going to take him time to warm up to these men, but you want to at least see Vince interact with the cat before you choose him.
Like, if the cat really weird? Just, like, hates him instantly, that's a red flag.
It's one thing if they're, like, standoffish, if they're just, like, because cats are cats, right?
Yeah,
like,
cats can be shy.
But, like, if they, like, hiss and run away and are like act in a way that they don't normally act with other people, like, I'd be like, oh my God, like, what did you do? Like, what is wrong with you?
I think, okay, well, you're done. It's over.
Someone needs to introduce the cat to Jared.
I bet that cat would like shred his face.
Like, can Tommy sense the evil in Jared's heart? Because someone needs to.
Someone needs to do something about the evil in Jared's heart.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure. Because it is deeply troubling, the way that it's been going.
It's wild.
And that's it. Is there anything else on this episode?
No, I think that's it. And I'm really just left thinking, like, okay, so the first three that we saw dates from, like, are those our three winners? Because I think for sure that Mercedes and I feel like things would have to get really crazy for Katie to pick Benedict over Vince at this point.
Yeah.
Danielle is a big question mark for me.
I pray that Danielle picks Christian.
Yeah, because we get the next time on and it seems like on Danielle's date with Christian, she's like telling him some sort of like private story that seems like a big deal. So I don't know.
But she also keeps saying like, well, I can't until I could see what Christian and I would be like on the outside. Like, I can't pick him. And it's like, what do you mean?
You can't see what you're like on the outside with any of these people by like any of this stuff. Really? It's all just kind of guessing.
I don't understand what this, like, I hope it's manufactured to make us wonder.
And then it seems like the only thing that happens with, like, I don't know, we see Katie crying, saying it's the hardest decision, which, like, she cried when she was trying to decide whether to pick Benedict over Marco. So, like, that doesn't really necessarily tell me anything that it's, like, that she's going to suddenly pick Benedict. And then we get, like, the clip of Jared being, like, I came here as an F-boy, but... And then you get the shocked faces from everyone. And then there's a clip of Daniela needing a tissue. This could all just be put together to make us think that she's going to pick Jared and he takes the money, but that still might not actually happen.
And
let's hope for her sake
that it doesn't happen. Because that would just, I can't imagine how she would feel. Like, it would just be so devastating.
I hope that they provide therapy and not just Nikki Glaser therapy, which it's fine, but it's probably not licensed.
Like it'll do in a pinch, but it probably won't actually help you make your life better.
Yeah. And I don't think that Nikki's going to be on like, you know, speed dial on call after the show.
She's busy. So. She's on tour. She's going to see the Eras tour 5 times because she's a big
Living
Swiftie.
Her best life.
Yeah. So jealous. but yeah, anyway. I think that my final prediction is that it's going to be Vince, Christian, and Mercedes will get picked.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's probably, but I'm not completely ruling out Jared because that's like the only, I guess the only hope for a dramatic ending, I guess, because we think that Mercedes is probably going to split money, right?
I think Mercedes, like, he might take the money.
Yeah. Maybe if he's like, you've never trusted me, so like, what's the point? Like, I don't know.
Just like, I really thought he would split the money, but then the shit he said about like Dream Girl was so fake that I was like, oh my God, maybe he is going back to get the full.
And he's just really trying to make sure that he at least gets his 50K. I don't know, but
I don't know. We'll see.
We will see very soon.
Oh, and I can't believe it.
Before, like, I might be spoiled while I'm still in New Orleans.
Yeah, they might literally post the winner on their Instagram before it airs in the States. So we'll
see about that.
Classic.
Yeah.
But yeah, we will be back next week to talk about the finale. And in the meantime, Jenny, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
Can follow me on social media at Jenny Autumn. And if you haven't checked out the coverage of the aforementioned House of Villains season 1, I'm saying season 1 because I'm very hopeful for season 2. Just a couple days ago, Chappelle and I had Puya on to cover, I believe, episode 8 or 7. I don't know. Numbers are a thing. Had a really great time. That show is so wild and a really good time. So follow the Hit or Quit podcast to check that out. And other than that, that's pretty much it for me. I'm going to be in New Orleans for the next few days. Kirsten will be very, very missed. I wish you were going to be there, but we will find our time to spend together another time. So
that's it. Amazing. And yeah, if people want to hear more from me, you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What. You can listen to me on Mess Magnets this week. Sasha and I are going to be joined by Lavina to talk about a bunch of pop culture fun. So that should be great. And you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. I might do some extra streams while my friends are away having fun together. And again, if you haven't given the Hot Dummies on Islands feed a 5-star rating and review, it really helps people to find this show. And it would be really great if you could do that. Or if you've already done that, you tell a friend about the podcast and maybe they'll listen and they'll give us a 5-star rating and review. And then that, you know, they can recruit 2 more friends and we could create like kind of like a reverse funnel system for 5-star reviews, you know,
not a pyramid.
It's a reverse funnel. No. Don't say that. But we will be back next week to talk about FY Island season 3, episode 10, the finale. We'll break it all down and we will see you then. Bye.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.